So sometimes in life, you get those windows of opportunity that present themselves. And if you ever, like, ran from someone, you're trying to get in a house, like, you only have so much time to get through that door, that window before they get you, and you can close it and cut it off, right? So there's only, sometimes you have a certain amount of time. When I was in grad school, APU, more than a few years ago, so I don't want to date myself too much. I remember I was sitting in grad class, and I didn't really know the Holy Spirit then. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, fast for 7 days. And I thought to myself, I'm going to fast for 7 days. I was like, was that Satan speaking to me, trying to get me to fast? And that was it. There was nothing else. It was just fast 7 days. And I sat there thinking, okay, I don't think Satan would want me to fast 7 days. And I said, God, if this is you, give me 7 days to prepare, because I've never done a 7-day fast, and I want to eat a bunch of food, and I want to prepare and do my best, and then I'll do it. So I ate a ton of food, eggs, carne asada, like a bunch of that this week, rice and beans, and then I went into this 7-day fast. And at that time, I was drinking Gatorade when I did fasting. I don't do that anymore just because of all the fake dyes and sugars and stuff. So I was drinking some Gatorade throughout. And the first 3 days, it was like uneventful. Like, there was like nothing going on. I felt like God was speaking in any way. Like, and then on the fourth day, I was hanging out with a friend. And you know what she said to me? She said, Jared, you're prideful. And I thought, what? I'm prideful? And she just began to like come at me in my pride. And I was beginning to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. Like, oh my gosh, I'm like, I am super prideful. And then she said this. She said, God's going to test you. And I said, what's he going to do? She said, you need to go to every person you've sinned against in your pride, and you need to ask them to forgive you and ask them to pray for you. I had a huge list of people. It was embarrassing. It was humiliating. I went to all these people. I said, hey, I sinned against you in my pride. Will you forgive me? Will you pray for me? And like, these were people older than me. These were peers. These were younger people. Like, it was everyone. This was family. Like, it was everyone across the board. And I finished my fast, and you know what God did? He broke me in my pride. He broke me where I could actually pursue humility in my life every day. You know what that means? Keeping my mouth shut and listening to other people first. Asking people questions to get to know them. Choosing to help people be lifted up and make myself lower. Before that, I was literally in bondage to spiritual pride, or pride spiritually. But Jesus set me free. Could you imagine if I was sitting there in my grad class and I felt like God spoke to me and said, fast 7 days, and I said, oh, that was just a random thought, and I pushed it away, or like, no, that was Satan because he doesn't want me to eat food or whatever, like, right? Or like, that was God, but I'm not going to do it because I want to do my own thing. I don't want to be hungry. I don't want to get a headache. I can think of all these excuses. I had a window of opportunity that opened in my life. And I chose to step into that window of opportunity through obedience to Jesus. I'll propose that if I didn't do that fast, I might not be standing here today, and this might not be a church that Jesus wanted to make. Because he needed to deal with my heart and my character. He needed to work some things out of me so he could begin to work through me in different and greater ways. So when Jesus invites us into things, he says, there's a window of opportunity. There is a specific time that you have the ability to sow into this, to step into this. And once that passes, like, it's gone. You may never, ever get that opportunity again in your life. In a way, that's what's going on with Judah and Jerusalem here. If you peeked back the chapter before, there's a huge locust swarm that's coming through Judah and coming into Jerusalem, and it's eating everything. So think about, remember how COVID shut everything down and it kind of ruined everyone's lives in different ways, like especially economically? It was basically like the COVID of that time came and just ate everything. So people didn't have food to eat, they didn't have money, there was no economy, like everything was being shut down. And the Lord speaks into it through the prophet Joel and says, hey, I want to get your attention. This is what I want you to do. I want you to get on your face, I want you to fast and pray, and if you fast and pray and you humble yourself and you seek me, I'm going to restore everything that's been eaten, and I'm going to give you even more. So they had this window of opportunity that was presented before them to step into this divine moment in time. So if you look at verses 12 through 14 in Joel chapter 2, that is why the Lord says, so that was the preface I just shared, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping and mourning. Don't tear your clothing with you in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish. Who knows? Perhaps he will give you a reprieve, sending you a blessing instead of a curse. Perhaps you'll be able to offer grain and wine to the Lord your God as he did before. And then the last part there, as he did before, right? So everything was being eaten up. There was nothing even to potentially be able to offer the Lord in that season. And so they had this window of time, this divine opportunity. And what they would do is when they would grieve back in this context, they would tear their clothes. I know some of you are buff enough here, like if you flex, you're going to tear your clothes. So you're not like flexing. Like, I'm not going to name who they are. Effa over there. He's like, yeah. Some guys over here, JR.
Just kidding.
Dysick, especially, right? Tim. Right? So they would tear their clothes as a sign of grief. And the prophet's like, don't tear your clothes. Like, tear your heart. You need to go to the root of this issue. It has nothing to do on the outside. It has to do what's on the inside. And I heard it was said over here in this group, like, God wanted their hearts. Like, God wanted their hearts. And Jesus wants our hearts, too. And so if you think about your own life, like, we all got treasure, right? Some of people, it's intangible, like Bitcoin. Some people, it might be, like, they buy big things of gold and they hide them. But think about the treasure in your life. What is it for you? And I can tell you how you find your treasure. And I know if you're a parent, this might not be as much. But think about the free or spare time that you do have. Like, where are you investing that spare time? It's going to point to your treasure. If you look at your credit card statements or your bank statements, if you look at where your money trails to, that's going to be where your treasure is. Or where you put your focus. And Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. If you want to get really scared reading the Bible, read Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. Revelation 2, 4. Jesus is saying to one of the churches, like, hey, you've left me. Like, I'm not your first love anymore. I mean, that is such a scary place to be. And that means that there is something other than Jesus that you have given your devotion, your worship to, your passion to. And he says, hey, you need to get realigned. And Jesus says that he needs to be your greatest passion, your top priority. More than anything in your life, Jesus is it. So the prophet says, fast, weep, and mourn. Fast, weep, and mourn. How many of y'all have ever fasted before in whatever capacities, right? If pretty much everyone here raised a hand or shook a head. Fasting is not fun. Like, I fast a lot, y'all know, and we're developing that fasting culture. Sometimes I think people think, Jared likes fasting. It's not, it's like, I don't think it's fun at all. It's so uncomfortable. It's painful. Like, it's not, it doesn't bring me joy. I'd rather go play pickleball, right? I'd rather do that than to fast. But fasting is humbling yourself in a way that's actually hard. It's sacrificial, right? It's like when there's this joke, right? So there's this chicken and this pig that are in heaven, and the chicken's like, hey, I gave an offering of eggs to God. And the pig was like, I gave a sacrifice of bacon, right? So your sacrifice has to hurt. It actually has to cut into your life. Because if you give up some eggs from your life, it costs you nothing, right? Pretty much, it wasn't a sacrifice. But if you give up your bacon, then you're actually sacrificing something that's really hard. It cuts into your life. How many of you all have ever wept under your sin? Okay, a bunch of you, right? So then that's a work of the Holy Spirit. Because if you look around the world, even if you look at the person in the mirror, apart from the Holy Spirit, you're not going to care if you sin or not. Because most of us kind of want to do what we want to do. We want to put ourselves first. We want to make ourselves, you know, the focus, the God of our own life. But when I talked about that 7-day fast I did at the beginning, at the end of it, I was asked to share the testimony of it. So I shared it. I went and sat down. You know what I started doing the moment I sat down? I started weeping. Just like full on weeping. And this is crazy supernatural encounter I had. I don't know how to describe it to you, except I saw the depths of my sin in my being before a holy God. It was one of the craziest things that happened. And I was just weeping under this, seeing myself so sinful before a holy God. And it was the Holy Spirit who made me aware of my sin, because he wanted to purge it out of me to make me holy as God is holy. And to mourn over your sin, right? to have a godly sorrow over our sin and over our rebellion. I shared this with our group during DBS. So I totally failed as a parent on Friday. We were at the San Diego Zoo. His kids are free in October, so it was fun. We got crazy discount tickets as adults. And at the end of the day, and I'm just being real here, the parent fail. I let one of my kids buy a souvenir, not the other one. There's context for it and a lot of different things of why we made the decision, and that was all on me. But last night I was sitting at the table with Meredith and I was like, I messed up. I was like, I really screwed up. I should have let him buy it with his own money and let him get it. And so I said, I need to make it right with him. And so I'm going to talk with him today and I'm going to say, I found it online. You could buy it through the zoo. I was like, would you still like to buy this? And mommy and daddy will pay shipping because we should have let you buy it in the first place. I felt sorrow. I was like, man, I messed up with my kid and I need to make it right with him, right? So I choose to make it right. So all this only comes by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can convict us of sin, the only one who can purge us of this mess in our lives and heal us and make us whole. So this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, return to me with every area of your life. He wants every area of your life. Like if you're really struggling, you're going through it, he just says, come and sit with me. Like just come and be. Because you don't need to earn, you don't need to like be good enough or hit these bars. Remember, I just told y'all a story how I failed as a parent. Like, guess what? Y'all are parents, you know this, we're gonna fail. And if any of y'all ever had parents before, which knowing most people's stories, everyone here has a parent of sorts, like they failed and some of them screwed up majorly, right? But it's okay because when we come to Jesus, he forgives us, we can forgive them, and our kids are going to be okay because he's the one who's ultimately the father over our children. So I want to say this to you. Now is the time of God's mercy for you, his compassion for you, his slowness to anger, and his unfailing love. This is that window of opportunity that he's opening for us, just like my 7-day fast. So if you have curses over your life or in your bloodline, now is the window of opportunity by doing this fast of consecration that we're going to do, because he wants to set you free. He wants to break stuff off of your life, off of your kids, off of your family, that he wants you to turn from sin and going another way to God's holiness. Did you know that God has a high standard of holiness? Like, sometimes it feels like we can get away with little things, which isn't biblically accurate, right? But there's times where God's judgment comes into our life because, and he says, I want you to be holy because I'm holy. And I would tell a story. I just don't remember what it was. But I remember telling Meredith, like, it wasn't even a big thing to me. And God just, like, nailed me in judgment. And he said, you got to be holy. He's like, you can't even let little things come into your life. You have to be holy because God is holy. We have to respect God. So we have a divine opportunity as a church, a just divine window of opportunity to humble ourselves in fasting and prayer for a prayer of and fasting of consecration. So this is a time when we examine our lives, when we come before God individually and as a community, and we say, where do I need to be holy where you're holy? Where do I need to clean things out of my life and dedicate every area of my life to you? Now, how many of you have literally done this? You've taken time before God and you've literally dedicated every area of your life to him. Like you've gone through it. Like God, you've gone through your spirit, your mind, your will, your emotions, your body, your sexuality, your finances, your relationships, your work, your children, your marriage, your family. How many of y'all have ever done that? Like literally prayed through everything? Okay, good. There's no solid hands. That's great. Because that's what this fast is about. Like at the end, I have prayers that I wrote out just for my own story of when I've done this. And it's 15 prayers that you'll get to pray throughout. And don't be like, oh, I'm going to just pray those 15 prayers and it's all good. No, God says, don't tear your clothes, tear your heart. This means you have to come before him and get on your knees in his presence and pray through these things. Because under each prayer, there's a prayer of confession. God, show me where I've sinned against my body. Show me where I've sinned against you with my finances. Show me where I've sinned against you with my children. And I'm already doing some confession this morning, right? So he wants us to consecrate every area of our life so that it's set apart holy for him. Do you know what happens when you do that? Satan loses access to so much of your life because what you said to Satan is, say, this is no longer yours because I'm not using it for what you want to do. I've dedicated it to God. So when you dedicate things to God, it no longer belongs to Satan. It belongs to Jesus, and his blood covers it. So let's look at verses 15 through 17 as we wrap up. It says, blow the ram's horn in Jerusalem, announce a time of fasting. Call the people together for a solemn meeting. Gather all the people, the elders, the children, even the babies. Call the bridegroom from his quarters and the bride from her private room. Let the priests who minister in the Lord's presence stand and weep between the entry room and the temple and the altar. Let them pray. Spare your people, Lord. Don't let your special possession become an object of mockery. Don't let them become a joke for unbelieving foreigners who say, has the God of Israel left them? All right, I thought about bringing my shofar and blowing that thing, like giant ram's horn. I don't own one, but that would have been funny. Wake everyone up. Basically, he's saying, gather everyone. Get everyone. So get the adults, get the children, get the infants, get those religious people that shouldn't have got the people into this mess in the first place. Like, bring everybody in from Judah and Jerusalem and get before God and humble yourself in this solemn meeting. This isn't a meeting for like shouts of joy. This is a meeting of like, oh, we've screwed up, God, and we need to make it right with you and make it right with other people. So bring everybody in here. And this isn't just getting it right for the short term so that God will relent judgment on your life. This is getting it right with God for the long term. Like, this is aligning your whole life so that you are locked into Jesus your entire life. Because how many of you have known someone who was professed being a follower of Jesus and they've gone a totally different direction with their life? Right? And so there's some heads. Jesus doesn't want that to happen. He wants you to remain in his love your whole life. And then when you do a fast of consecration, dedicating every area of your life to Jesus, it begins to put you into that. When we were at the San Diego Zoo on Friday, we did the gondolas, the ones that, you know, go up in the air, and it's super cool. When those get on the track, they lock in. And once they're locked in on the track, they literally follow the track to their destination. So when you do this fasting of consecration, you get locked in on the track, and it builds momentum to take you to God's destination in your life. So this is when you hold nothing back. This is when you hold nothing back and you give every area of your life to Jesus. You give him access to everything. And so, don't take this lightly. Like, God is, it's like being face to face with God and he's saying, are you serious? Are you serious? Are you willing to give me your whole life? Because if you give God your whole life, have you read in the Bible what happens to people who give their whole life to God? They become close friends, and he says, all right, now I can use you for the kingdom and the gospel here on the earth. So if you want to see your life make an impact for Jesus' kingdom and the gospel on the earth, it comes to that point when we have a full surrender, and then we dedicate every single thing in our lives to him. And so God's creating this opportunity for us to do that. And this will cause a spiritual transaction in your life to take place. How many of y'all like getting paid, right? So there's a financial transaction that takes place. Like, you get money into your bank account or your crypto wallet, right, or whatever it is. And so in that same way, when you do a fast of consecration and you pray through everything, the prayers I'll give you, and you do them with the right heart, you tear your heart, it literally does a spiritual transaction in the spiritual realm that will take place in your life. Something will be deposited in your life that otherwise won't be deposited. And so you are signaling in the kingdom of light to the kingdom of darkness where you stand. So you are signaling in the kingdom of light to the kingdom of darkness where you stand. Because if you're trying to follow Jesus, but you're like, have half your body in the shade of darkness, right? How's that going to work out? But this is when you're saying, all right, I'm making my stand in my life to be in the light. In darkness, you no longer have access to me. Because I am dedicating everything to Jesus. So you're going to close doors to the enemy, and you're going to break curses through sin, either your own sin or the sin of your ancestors. This gives access to Jesus and his leadership for your life. So he's the leader of your life, and he wants you to follow him. So this is, it really comes down to this. It's a matter of obedience versus rebellion. A matter of obedience versus rebellion. So anything that God asks you to do and you do otherwise, the Bible calls that rebellion. But when you walk in obedience to Jesus, you're going to follow him. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand out these prayers of consecration, and we'll go over them, and then we're actually going to have the kids all join us, because the Bible says get everyone. Get all your older people, your younger people, your kids, and we're just going to humble ourselves before God as we start this fast of consecration this week. So I'm going to briefly walk you through these prayers of consecration. I would suggest that as you do this week, to like really take time to go deep. Because this is that window of opportunity where your life has a chance to change forever for the kingdom and for the gospel. There's going to be a bunch of verses listed throughout here because I wanted you to see what the scriptures have to say. So I'd encourage you to take your Bible and read every single verse in the context of the prayers prior to praying through the prayers. Because you want to know what the scriptures say so that when you're praying God's word, you know that it has power behind it. So know that when you pray these prayers, and they're recommended you pray out loud because you're speaking to God, you're hearing your own words, and you're addressing the spiritual realm, right? So you're addressing everything holistically. And I would encourage you to read through all the prayers prior to praying them out loud so that you know what you're praying, because in a way, you're making a commitment to God. So if you look through this, you're consecrating your spirit, your mind, your emotions, your will, your body, your sexuality, your marriage, your children, your family line, finances, friendship, work, vocation, hobbies, time, and your entire life. So pretty much you're holistically praying through everything. And when you get to the sexuality one, that is probably one of the number one things that I feel like most disciples of Jesus need to consecrate and surrender. Because our culture is so across the board, y'all know, you just look at, turn on your TV, you look around where you go. Sexuality is so warped and bent and broken. And people before they're Christians will do all types of stuff, like we're just naming real, right? That consecrating and surrendering our sexuality to Jesus, I think is one of the biggest things that could bring change to people in their lives too. So all these lead to a point of full surrender. And I would recommend that when you get to that last prayer of full surrender, that you get on your knees if you're not on your knees already when you do it. Meredith will be fasting this week too. And I'll just share what we're doing. She's going to do a liquid fast. So she'll be doing like smoothies and protein drinks and soups and things like that. I'll be just doing water only. So find out for you like what is the best fit. And we know if you're nursing or pregnant, like you don't want to do any of those types of fasts. You want to ask Jesus how you want me to fast, right? And talk with your spouse and discern that together. Meredith's like, oh, there's 15 prayers. You can do 5 a day, right? Because there's a 3-day fast. So you choose the 3 days that you want to do. Like I'm going to start Wednesday afternoon probably for me. Meredith is starting tomorrow. But wherever you're at, if you finish before you're in it or it's after, we're going to gather on Friday at 7 p.m. at my place to really seek the Lord. And as I read church history, as people humble themselves in fasting and prayer, especially for consecration, the Holy Spirit shows up and something shifts in everybody's lives who are present. So what we're going to do is we're going to have all the kids come over, join us. They're going to join. And the kids are like, again? I mean, how do you think it was in the book of Joel? Do you think all the kids were like, we got to go out of here again? Daddy, do this thing? All right, everyone, this is going to be a shorter prayer as we close, just because all the kids are like, how long? They're ready to go have a different type of fun. But what we're going to do, if you are willing and able, I'm just going to invite you to get on your knees before Jesus as we start this time of consecration and fasting and prayer. And if you're unable to get on your knees, this thing is more about the heart, remember? Because he said, don't tear your clothes, tear your heart. So this is more of a heart issue. But I'm going to invite you, if you want to get on your knees, you can, to start your fast this week. Or you can get on your knees in your heart, if that makes sense. And what I'll do is I'm going to pray a simple prayer over us as we start. So Jesus, we want to humble ourselves before you. with everybody present, even our infants and our kids and all of us adults. Jesus, we recognize that you created a window of opportunity for us at Enrich Church and those who call their Rich Church home or a hub church or will be listening to this in the future, who will take this this fast of consecration and say yes. So Jesus, as we consecrate ourselves to you this week and dedicate every area of our life to you and how we will fast as we are led by your Spirit, I pray that you'd bring about a radical transformation to every single person here who dedicates their lives to you in every area, and that you'd bring about a spiritual transaction that will lock them in and set them on course, not only for them, but for their children, their children's children, for all generations until you return. So Jesus, we ask for your grace and your mercy as we fast and humble ourselves. Would you strengthen us in your mighty power and in your armor? Because we know that when we move to live holy as you are holy and to dedicate our lives to you, the enemy may resist that. But we thank you. It says, humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. So Jesus, as we humble ourselves, would you purify and cleanse us, making us holy as you are holy? And would you prepare us for the next season ahead? In Jesus' name, amen.